If you felt the job market was not as strong as advertised, well, you were right and they were wrong. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. This morning, the government said the economy created 143,000 jobs in September. That is much less than expected. Also, a lot of Americans were discouraged from even looking for work. The number of jobs added in July and August was also revised downward using new downward pickup. Downward, adding new uncertainty about if and when the Federal Reserve will start raising interest rates. When the news came in, down went the stock market in early trading. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down about 1.5%, so is the S&P 500. Let us delve further. 143,000 new jobs, when about 200,000 were expected. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, David.
What's going on here? Is this the global turmoil we've been covering all summer coming home to roost in the jobs number?
Well, yeah, I think it is. You know, we've been talking about the possible effect of a strong dollar on manufacturing. We've seen oil prices re-crater this summer after recovering in the spring. And it is definitely taking a toll. We created only 142,000 jobs in September, on top of which downward revisions of about 70,000 in July and August leaves us with a distinctly sluggish job picture.
And what about this wrinkle? It sounds arcane, but there's this thing, the labor force participation rate hasn't been this low since, what, the disco era?
Yeah, that's exactly right. 62.4% is where we are right now. What that means is that only about 6 in 10 Americans of working age are actually either working or looking. That's the lowest since the fall of 1978. And it's important, at least in part, because it's one of the things Fed Chair Janet Yellen singled out as evidence that the 5.1% unemployment rate might not be telling the whole truth about labor force slack in the U.S.
Yet even with this new data, there still will be voices on the Federal Reserve Committee that want to raise interest rates in a few weeks.
Well, sure. You know, just yesterday, John Williams, president of the San Francisco Fed, said even if we get 100 or 150,000, and obviously we're right in that wheelhouse, he would be pushing for a rate hike. But I tell you, looking at the committee, I just don't think there's any way, particularly given the market reaction to this number, that they're going to have to wait. And I suspect they're going to have to wait until next spring.
All right, Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, David.
Also, T-Mobile says hackers got into the private information of about 15 million customers and potential customers. T-Mobile says it is the credit scoring company Experian's fault. This week, Whole Foods said it'll stop selling groceries made by prison inmates after some shoppers were upset that the chain might be exploiting cheap prison labor. Whole Foods said it thought it was doing the right thing, supporting a prison vocational program. This is part of an ongoing debate about whether the benefits of giving inmates work are outweighed by the unfair competition that this can present, particularly to small businesses. Marketplace's Mark Garrison brings us a story that starts in a factory that makes road signs here in New Jersey.
This is Brymar Industries. Today, we're customers.
This is the birth of your sign.
Our midwife is Jason Hodgelick, chief marketing officer, standing over a printer that's spitting out our sign's label. Brymar can do custom jobs. People sometimes order novelty signs, many of which the FCC would be unhappy if we shared with you. Our sign label heads to another part of the factory, where manager Juan Ventura grabs a blank piece of aluminum and rolls the green label onto the metal.
That's it. We have a finished street name sign.
What does it say?
Marketplace.
Reimar is not a player in those giant signs you see hanging on freeway overpasses. Hodgelick says it's not lack of capability.
It's a very difficult and in some cases even impossible business to enter.
That's because many states use inmate labor. Prisoners also make everything from furniture to clothes, almost always for pennies an hour. Steve Lamar is with the American Apparel and Footwear Association. He fights for manufacturers competing with cheap prison labor.
As a result of that, our members lose contracts, factories close, people lose jobs, and ultimately companies go out of business.
But supporters of prison labor argue it's good for society. Research shows job training inmates get makes them less likely to reoffend. At a medium security prison in North Carolina, prisoners cut giant sheets of metal into road signs. Inmate Bill Spainauer says he's grateful for the work.
Learned how to weld, work the sewing plant, work in the print shop, running an offset printer, giving me a lot of trades that I might not have learned before.
Karen Brown directs North Carolina's program. She's also president of the National Correctional Industries Association.
We try very hard to partner with the private sector. We tell them we are training and preparing offenders to come to work for you.
Back at Braemar, Hodgelick says business is great, even if prison labor has part of the market locked up.
There is a sense of frustration there, but I wouldn't call it unfair. I would call it a reality that we have worked around.
And that's what the private sector has to do when the competition is convicts. In New Jersey, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
And before we go, the connection between the price of a precious metal and the Volkswagen emissions scandal. For the first time since the 2008 financial collapse, platinum fell below $900 a troy ounce today. Diesel engines use platinum as a catalyst to clean up emissions. And if diesels fall out of favor, so does platinum. From studios at Montclair State University today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.